If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to another wrap-up episode of Who Would Win Masters. I am Sam Proof on all of the socials, and today we're taking a look back at Sub-Zero versus Yujiro Hanma, repped by Dusty Roberts. We're going to be reading your five-star reviews, episode comments, and we will reveal the winner as you, the people, have voted. Welcome. Hello, Ray. Welcome back. How's it going?
Wow. Who is Sub-Zero fighting against again?
Did I say it wrong? Again?
No, I just was so excited. I wanted to hear it again.
Yujiro Hanma.
Yeah, we
get
it. As we record this a little early this week, let me just say I just put on Instagram.
Oh, I saw it already.
And I put up the outtake that did not appear in the show of Sam saying the name of the character incorrectly multiple times.
It's just cruel.
Look, it's a little mean. I'm not going to say it's not a little mean, but it made me laugh. I know Dusty was begging for it, so I'm sorry, Sam, but it'll be on me at some point. To be fair, a lot of this episode was on me at some point.
You know what?
This one's just on you.
You know, I was so concerned about reliving that horror that before the show tonight, I Googled how to pronounce it, and the first hit that I got was Yujiro Hanma. And I was like, Boy. That's not anything. It's not an H.
That's not right at all. No. I love it. But no, Sub-Zero versus Yujiro Hanma from Grappler Baki, who is a Grappler Baki is a character we did on the original Who Would Win show. It's actually one of my favorite episodes we ever did because we did him versus The Undertaker from WWE. But like in the preseason, before I joined the show, when James had another host and they were recording, you know, all over the country, they did an episode right towards the end of that run, maybe even the last one. And it was The Undertaker versus Bane. And I remember I was in communication with James at that point when that show came out, that episode. And I said to him, I said, you can't do a normal living, breathing human being in a battle against a fictional character. And we had a very long conversation about it. And in the end, he agreed with me for at least as long as, you know, we were doing the original the Who Would Win show. And we said, that's just not a thing you can do. So for 6 years or 5 years or whatever it was, I was trying to think of a way to break my own rule. And I realized that there was a comic book version of The Undertaker that was insane. It's just an absolutely insane comic book. You can read it all for free online with scans if that's the thing you want to do. And I suggest it. If you like weird, extreme, kind of like Lobo-esque material, that is a good read. A fun read, I would say. Maybe not a great read. But the point is, we were able to use The Undertaker in a battle that made sense. We used him against Grappler Baki. The roundabout way of saying, that's how we end up sideways with Yujiro Hanma on the show. Because at first I'm like, I don't have any idea who that is. Will our audience know who that is? He's an anime character. Oh, no one's going to listen. And Dusty promised me, he's like, no, this guy's a big deal. He's in a lot of memes. You know, he's kind of not so much a meme character, but he's not a meme character. And I'm like, all right, let's play it safe. I'll take Sub-Zero. You take him. We both agreed it was a pretty good matchup that could go either way. And the comments disagree with that statement. But we'll get there soon enough. We do want to thank those of you, really, Lord Snurts. Lord Snurts has joined us as an audience member. We're trying something when we record live. People from the Patreon, you didn't get a lot of pre-notice, and I'm going to take the blame for that. Potentially for future wrap-ups. It's a test run. Yeah, we want to see if it's working. And so,
Snurts, do you have anything you want to say? The voice of the community.
Thank you. Yeah. Snurts, you are the community for this particular episode. Congratulations. Anything you put in the chat, we will be able to read and can even read on air in sort of real time. And we might try to work out some sort of more of an audience. We want this to be an audience interactive show. And now that we've sort of got our feet under us a little bit, we'd like to try to start doing more of this kind of a thing, right? That seems fair. That seems fun. So, Sturts, if you have anything you want to add, we'll try to get to it as we go. So thank you for that. We'll keep an eye on the chat. Otherwise, Sam, we got three new reviews for the Who Would Win Network. Let's go ahead and start banging those out.
All right, I'll take it. The first one is amazing from Five Stars, Five Stars. Yet again, welcome back. This show is amazing. Should use more video game characters like Catnap versus Freddy Krueger, or Springtrap versus Michael Myers, or Arthur Morgan. Oh, Freddy, it's Michael Myers and Arthur Morgan, or John Marathon versus The Mandalorian and Boba Fett. It's a one on two.
It's a lot of names out there, and I don't know if some of those. Maybe I transcribed it wrong. I'm not sure. I don't know who John Marathon is, and I really don't know who Springtrap is.
Yeah.
And maybe we talked about that last time. You know, Catnap, I think we found out, is a meme character from a video game.
Right. That sounds right.
It was involving dreams. That's why the Freddy Krueger thing.
Got it.
Makes sense in their eyes. But here's the deal. Arthur Morgan. I like Arthur Morgan. We used John Marston on the old version of the show. I am completely on board with you with using Arthur Morgan in an episode that he makes sense in. Absolutely. And if I had a clue who John Marathon was, I'd probably be down with John Marathon as well. And Mandalorian Boba Fett, those go without saying. We'll absolutely use those guys at some point.
Of course. Yeah, I'm sure they'll show up.
They'll show up. So I'm going to read the second one here. And get ready for this one. This is another repost with new information. This is from the definitive Nintendo fan who says, incredible show, but. Okay. I'm interested. Tell me more. Many judges tend to be biased against Ray, Sam, which honestly makes some episodes almost pointless to watch. Wow, that's harsh. Ban Stefan Thomas. Well, I got good news for you. Stefan Thomas is almost assuredly not coming on to judge an episode of Who Would Win Masters. I can't speak to anything anywhere else, but Stefan Thomas and his well-known bias will not be on this show, 100%. So here we go. Some of the biggest wrong decisions in the history of the show, and we have three. One, Luke Skywalker versus Link. I agree. Link could just put on the fierce deity mask and cut Luke in half, and the fight ends in 3 seconds. Sure. I lost that one in the original incarnation. Hey, Minecraft Steve versus Superman. Wouldn't you know it? Another one where I lost. Steve has slash kill and creative mode. Superman has literally no advantage over Steve, and I agree to that as well. And then three, this is where we're going to get controversial. The new formula.
What
happened between Ray and James that caused this to happen? If anyone knows, please tell me. Well, guys, nothing happened between me and James. Look, there was obviously a big tragedy that happened in Los Angeles, which caused us to go on hiatus and take a few months away. And sometimes, you know, if you've ever known somebody who takes a sabbatical or takes an extended break, sometimes that gives you time to get out of the groove of what you're doing and start thinking a little bit deeper. And how can we change this? How can we try to make this better? How can we make this our own thing? How can we make this bigger? And that's what ended up happening here, everybody. James had one very specific direction he wanted to take the show. He had a very specific direction I wanted to take the show. We'd already completed 6+ seasons together. At that point, you know, the show was what it was. And was it great? Sure, absolutely. Do we have a chance to make two shows that are potentially on their own great, with each of us kind of at the core of that show, kind of molding Who Would Win into what we think it's capable of? I think so as well. So I'm excited about these new opportunities and that we both have the freedom, to do the show exactly how we want to do it. And there's really not much more beyond that. You know, we saw an opportunity to try to do something bigger and different and bolder, and we're taking a shot with it. And, you know, and understand this, and I'll say this right now, I'll finish the review in a second, but I'm old enough to remember when I first joined the Who Would Win show. We started the show out of the preseason with the previous host, the co-host, and then I joined the show. Guys, I saw a whole bunch of one-star reviews in there saying, we hate this Ray guy. Bring back the old guy. This is so unfair. And then after maybe like a couple of months of doing the show, suddenly we were just inundated with 5-star reviews saying, I take it all back. Ray's great. We like having him on the show.
Yay.
To now reading some reviews that say, holy crap, you know, Ray is so amazing, etc. You know, I don't like to, you know, toot my own horn more than the world does. But that being said, like, you got to understand that every single time there's a change, every single time there's a transition, it feels weird. It feels icky. And then you get used to it and you can appreciate things for how they are. So I just wanted to make that point. I remember getting lambasted in the reviews when I first joined the show purely because I was not the person they were used to hearing. And that's it, right? So you think back to it now, that sounds crazy, right? But that's what happens. So I'm not too worried about it. People will get adjusted. It's just change is hard, okay? Moving forward with this review. This show is amazing, though. See? Thank you very much. And he also, for Showdown September, says, please give us Princess Peach versus Princess Zelda. I'll be honest with you. I think we're more likely to go with Princess Zordla versus Danky Kang than we are that matchup. But I still appreciate you saying it, and I appreciate your nice words. And if you got that reference to what I just said, we can be friends.
I'm into it. But is it really? Do you want that versus Danky Kang or Haktua Girl? No.
Well, she's got her own podcast. To be fair.
Oh, that's fair.
At least for a minute.
That's true. Right, that minute's got to be over by now.
It's got to be over. And I, you know, I'm still here, and I haven't even done a crypto rug pull yet. I mean, come on, man.
Raycoin, is that coming?
Raycoin is coming. I didn't want to. You're jumping the gun on me a little bit here. Raycoin is coming. We've minted. No, that we are not doing Raycoin.
There's no minting.
The second you find out that I've been doing Raycoin, I want you to do me a favor and buy all of it. Buy it. We're going to the moon with Raycoin.
Oh, boy. All right.
All right. Third review. Enough of this nonsense.
All right. Third review. What is this? Maya's buddy says, ideas. John Wick versus Agent 47.
It's a good idea.
Moon Knight versus Batman. I love me some Moon Knight. And Kermit versus Elmo.
Oof.
That's interesting.
It's a rougher one. You know, that's too close to Muppets Moon Knight versus Sesame Street,
yeah,
which I've already won twice.
Right.
So I don't need to win it again.
I'd rather see the Fraggles or even more, or the Doozers specifically.
The Doozers are builders, not destroyers, Sam.
Yeah, but I don't know how they do it. I don't know.
It's interesting. Oh, and I do want to shout out to Snurts in the chat. You know, he's loving this version of the show, so thank you for that, Snurts. We'll read your messaging a little bit later. But also, he wants us to know, he won't be a judge, Stefan Thomas, he's referring to. Ray could get his revenge against Thomas. People at home, do you want me to reach out to Stefan Thomas and invite him to debate me on this show? You know what? I said before I would not have Stefan Thomas on the show, but he's making a good point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you said he wouldn't come back as a judge, and I'm not leaving this chair anytime soon.
My cat might argue
with me on that, but yeah.
Really, it just depends on the quality of your laptop and internet connection, really.
Yeah, yeah. that's fair. I may get
fired.
Oh,
is that too inside baseball? Anyway, Sam, I got some bad news. But I'm going to have you read it. We have the final vote tally in from Patreon.
Yeah. No, let's just set the scene here. For the first, what was it, six episodes of the show?
Five episodes
of the show. It was a Ray Party City. You know, every judgment I made was Team Ray, which is interesting because in the past when I had been here as a guest judge, it did not go Ray's way.
Typically not.
That is, yeah, that's accurate.
Remind me why I have you on again.
I'm just so handsome.
That's fair.
Fair point. Today, however.
Yeah.
I went back to my old ways on this past episode. I did judge against Ray, but we left it, of course, as always, to the people.
Leave it to the people.
And the people have not just spoken. It is just overwhelmingly that the final Patreon vote tally with 87% of the people's vote, Yojiro Hanma. I'm sorry, Ray.
That hurts. I thought I'd at least get to 25%. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little disappointed in the people. I can admit when I'm beat. And someday when that happens, I'll admit it. I feel like I did do enough to win this battle, but I could see how other people might have other opinions.
I mean, these are always so close, but also, you know, I feel like this is an episode where while the characters were extremely close in a lot of ways, Dusty was an unseen force that showed up to debate and like took no prisoners. And frankly, I'm still a little scared.
He did a great job. You know, yeah. I said I wanted to challenge everybody. And we actually have word from Dusty Roberts, Sam. I didn't put it on the document here, but I just texted it to you.
Is it just him pronouncing Yujiro Hanma over and over
again?
It's
just him saying it over and over again. No, it is not. But I just texted it over to you. The official statement, if you would please be the voice of Dusty Roberts and read the statement, because it hurts a little too much for me to do it.
Do I have to read it like Dusty Roberts?
You read it in any way that you want to.
I don't remember if this is exactly how he sounds, but this is in my head how he would be. I'd like to thank everyone for the invite. It was a fantastic chance to utterly destroy the host in a spectacular fashion. It just goes to show, I need a can to be crushing at this point. It just goes to show that when you step into the ring with a pro, you gotta bring your A game. While it's clear you had the stronger argument, it was still a blast, and I thoroughly enjoyed all of it. I'm more than willing to return for a rematch, or did he know he won? It sounds like he is admitting defeat, or even just to provide commentary. Thanks again for all who participated, and thank you for all who tuned in. Sincerely, Dusty Roberts, purveyor of the one-sided ass-beating.
I think you got part of it. He said, while it's clear who had the stronger argument, not you had. Now, that would have been great. I wish he would have said that.
Yeah.
You know, but my bad, he was, look, I'm not going to punish a man for being humble. And Dusty Roberts is a phenomenal talent, and I'm so glad to have found him. Snurts in the chat here. Dusty was fantastic. And I agree. Look, Dusty, we brought Dusty on because he was, I believe, the first person out the gate to send us a demo, and he just kind of just sent us a couple clips from his channel. And I got about 2 seconds in and I was like, well, we got to have this guy on. He's fantastic. Yeah. And yes, he does a great job. I'm going to have him back on. I'm not going to have him back on anytime soon, but I will have him back on and I will defeat him next time. I promise you that. I promise you that. And I'm so glad that we're able to have him on. He was fantastic. He makes me up my game. And again, I said it last time, but if I just keep knocking off, you know, enhancement talent and jobbers over and over again, I don't improve myself. So I'm just going to keep getting better and better. And some of the next few people we have coming on are also very good.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're going to reach that Dusty Roberts level, but they're definitely going to bring the heat. You know, I'm reminded of what they said about the Kansas City Chiefs when they won the Super Bowl is that when you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you won the Super Bowl, every single one of your opponents' Super Bowl that following year is playing you. So you're going to get every single team's best effort because you are the champ. And because I am the champion still, thank you, I'm going to get everybody's best effort. So I can't afford to take a step back. And maybe I did this last time. I don't know. I still felt good about it, but I have to go back and I have to watch the tape and really just learn from that and try to just do a little bit more because the people have spoken. 87% is a beating.
That's a sack
beating, as we used to say in the Midwest.
That's
sure. When you put a sack over somebody's head and beat them. It's not that complicated, but that's just how it happened. Yeah, Snurts agrees. I need a Rocky II moment here. That's right. I need to just get up. Just beat the 10 count, Ray. That's all you got to do. All right. So we got a bunch of comments here. These are called from Facebook, the Facebook group, Facebook.com, Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Knowing Is Half the Podcast. No, that's a different show.
I get so used to
doing the promos for all the shows that I get into a rut. This is normally the night we would record Knowing Is Half the Podcast. I don't know what's wrong with me. We want to go to the Who Would Win Geek News and Battles. That's what I'm talking about. I'm on a Thursday mood. We're recording this on a Thursday. I'm just going to be open about it. And, what's wrong with me? Anyway, I'm going to start reading these. and we'll go back and forth. Max, the man, 1001. Max, thank you for being a part of the Patreon. We appreciate you very much. He says, this was cinema. Wow. Ray did as good as he could, but Yujiro was way too powerful in the end. I haven't seen Ray being the underdog since some of the most heated debates against Mr. James Gavsy. Fair. I like to be the underdog against James. That way, when I win most of the time, I know I earned it. But definitely need Dusty to return, and I agree as well. What do you think about that, TV's Sam Proof?
That's right. Is there a singular for TVs? I think it should be just the singular version of that.
Well, it's an ownership thing.
I have a TV. I am Sam Proof. Yeah, no, Dusty was fantastic, and my cat just knocked my headphones off, and we will definitely have him back because that is a challenge that needs to be faced.
Wait, are you talking about Dusty or the cat?
But yeah, both. I need to face off with this cat. You need to face off with Dusty. And I'll broadcast it on my TVs.
Oh, I like that. TV Sam-proof. That's great. Why don't you go ahead and read? We got Lord Moxford in the next one.
All right. Lord Moxford says, for starters, I didn't know Sam-proof was a proud member of the NRA. Now, is this an in-joke? Is this a not Ray group of some sort?
This is not. This is the National Rutabaga Association, who was our sponsor for the last episode.
That's right. Guys, I have the memory of what just happened a second ago. And my cat just changed my monitor settings. All right. Nara, you're going. That's great.
Okay. If you guys are not a part of cuteavalanche.com, you got to go check out the foster cats.
Yeah,
we just got you a Sam-proof cat.
We just got two new foster kittens. They're 4 weeks old, super cute, over on Twitch. All right. Hashtag Rutabaga. This was a bit of a mismatch when all is said and done. Understatement, possibly? Maybe Dusty was just that good at repping Yujiro, but from Dusty's first point, I knew Ray was in trouble. Hearing the physicals of Yujiro, I couldn't see how Sub-Zero would overcome. Ray always brings his A game, but this time it wasn't enough. Hashtag Ray was robbed. Is that really hashtag Ray was robbed at that point?
Well, it's hashtag was Ray robbed. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm dyslexic. I just read it the way I want to.
My biggest arguments for Sub-Zero versus Yujiro Hanma are that Yujiro Hanma's fantastic. He's a tank. You know, he's built very big. But there's two arguments against him. And one is that Sub-Zero. I'm doing it now.
Yeah, I did. I think the problem is too close.
You got me. Sub-Zero has the ice powers and the cryomancy. And that's a big deal. And I don't think that's getting enough run in people's minds and imaginations and the people at home. And that's fine. I maybe should have done more. I don't know. I feel like I devoted an entire point to it. Anyway. But the other point is that Yujiro Hanma is what we would call a big fish in a small pond, and that his universe just isn't that strong compared to what's happening over in the Mortal Kombat universe. And I would just say that Yujiro Hanma would fit in the Mortal Kombat universe, but I don't think if he showed up to Outworld and joined the tournament, do you think Yujiro Hanma wins that tournament against all those other competitors? I mean, not that Sub-Zero did either. He'd never won a tournament to my remembrance. But, you know, he hung with them a lot of the times. My question just is, if you took either one out of each other's world, I think Sub-Zero dominates the world of Grappler Baki. And I don't think Yujiro does the same in the Mortal Kombat world. And I think those two arguments, obviously, we saw what the fans voted. We saw what you voted. People don't, those points aren't hitting. And sometimes you craft an argument that you feel is good. You put it in front of the people and they go, not feeling it. And you're just going to have to live with that. I think that's enough to go off of, but I am but one voice.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a clear case of this is a battle that was won on counterpoints and not just powers alone and stuff like that. And there may just needed to have been more of breaking down Yujiro.
I mean, but that's the thing. And Snurt says, correct, interesting, but very hypothetical. Yes. And here's the deal. But this is why my opponents get counterpoints. And I actually, if I'm going to counter anything, I got to use my points to do it. I'm giving them a little bit of an advantage. Now, I do get the last word. So it's not like I'm just like giving away the farm. But at the same time, like, I got to be very careful with countering. And they get extra time to counter me every single time. So I'm, giving them every shot I possibly can.
Yeah, that is fair.
That is the truth. Right. So let's read the next one here. Forbidden Mob. Oh, this is a good one here. Forbidden Mob for one of many times. Thank you for being on the Patreon, Forbidden Mob, patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. He says, incredible episode. It was super entertaining listening to two highly competitive and skilled debaters throw everything in the kitchen sink at each other. I think that's what it was.
Sure.
Going into it, I was of the mindset that Cryomancy would get Ray the dub. But man, Dusty sold me on the incredible strength, durability, and most of all, speed that Yujiro brings to the table. Not to mention his knowledge of so many forms of martial arts. He'd know how to counter normal attacks and would be too fast for Sub-Zero's ice abilities. Great job, and firm handshakes to both of you. I think it would be close. Dusty, come back soon. Ray, you get dubs left and right. Heavy is the crowd. You'll get them next time. Hashtag awkward allies. That's all I could ask
for. No, that makes sense. Yeah.
You know, I don't have a problem with losing. My biggest problem is with losing.
Okay. All right. Let's leave it at that and move on to this one that makes me say this name way too many times. All right. Rob L. Foster.
It sure does.
Rob L. Foster says, Yujiro is considered a weapon of mass destruction by the Pentagon, and the White House has a treaty with him.
You could put him against the entirety.
Yeah. Of, what is this? The Ling Q at Yujiro? Oh, you could, Lin I think Kuei. It's, you could... You could,
no,
put the entirety
you could put
of
the entirety of the Lin Kuei at Yujiro,
and he wouldn't sweat. Yeah.
There we go. We got there.
Woohoo! Even Olivia could trash Sub-Zero. Okay. I think considering how he shrugs off gunfire and explosives, it's entirely possible that all ice powers do help him regulate his body heat more effectively. Talking about Yujiro. Okay. Even someone like Johnny Cage can avoid most of Sub-Zero's attacks rather effectively, and Yujiro has such skill that he only needs to see any technique done once to fully master it. I think it's very likely that if ice powers are a determining factor in this fight, it's Yujiro using them.
So his argument, this came from our Facebook group when I was looking for some commentary. His argument is that Yujiro can do any technique he sees one time, he can then do it back. His argument is if he sees Sub-Zero conjuring ice, Yujiro would immediately be able to conjure ice himself.
That seems far-fetched.
I don't. The Kid Goku argument, according to Snurts, I don't think that passes the smell test, as I would say. Maybe a Midwest expression.
I mean, you would have to really prove that somehow Sub-Zero's ability to throw ice is a martial art inspired thing and not magic, like not coming from his magic blood.
I mean, he is literally, he's a cryomancer and he's one of three in his clan, you know, which just has a lot of people in it.
Right.
So I would say, we all agree. Let's move on. Giuseppe Iannucci. He says, Sub-Zero wins 6 out of 10 times, thank you. But only if he abuses his powers and never lets it become a brawl. If it turns into a fist fight, Hanma wins. And that's my point. I'm not saying that he wins every time, but I'm saying Sub-Zero with the powers, I've said it already. You know how I feel about this. I'm happy there's somebody who agrees with me out there. Dear Lord, welcome. You know, my fan base is often called the 5%ers. I would call him, you know, part of the 13%ers. We're now known as the 13%ers after this battle.
That sounds about right. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Kelvin Odomwingy? Hope I got even close to
Odomwingy.
That one. Odomwingy?
Kelvin Odomwingy.
Like a Viking. Okay. Sure. This is really hard to decide. Yug, that's how his friends call it. I should have just done that. I adopted
I guess
that. So. That's going forward. Yug it is.
So Yug Ham.
Yug Ham, I like. Is it related to John Ham? Probably. Yug has Sub-Zero beat in every physical category, but Sub-Zero has his ice abilities. Highly doubtful if Sub-Zero can hit him with a single ice blast due to how fast Yug is, not to mention how durable he is.
It is crazy to me that Yujiro, Y-U-J-I-R-O, is shortened to Y-U-G. That's just to mess with Sam. I don't want to say I gave you that one on purpose, but...
That's fine. I will take that, and that is now canon for how I've ever pronounced it.
Well, I got a good one here. This is from Lord Snurts, who's in our chat right now. Yay. Lord Snurts, here we go. It's your time. I'm going to do it for you, and you know what I mean. To misquote the great wrestler Bonesaw from Spider-Man, a.k.a. the Macho Man Randy Savage, who I just, you know, I'm just going to say this right now. I'm going to break up the show. I just watched WrestleMania 7. I just watched it again on the Paramount Plus app, and Macho Man Randy Savage faced the Ultimate Warrior on that show and I believe did not win. It was a career versus career match. And I remember thinking, as a kid, I remember the WrestleMania 7. That's the one where Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter are in the main event. So now you understand why I wanted to go back to it so much, being a big G.I. Joe and Sergeant Slaughter fan. Yes. I remember that show as the first wrestling pay-per-view I ever watched. I watched it a week after it came out because a friend of mine got me the videotape because my parents were never going to get me a wrestling pay-per-view back in 1991. And I watched it thinking, this is the greatest show I've ever seen in my entire life. Watching it now, having been a professional wrestler, having watched untold hours of professional wrestling and knowing what I'm talking about at this point, it was not a good show. It was an actively bad show, and I was upset and horrified watching it, questioning why the things happening were happening at a WrestleMania. It's a WrestleMania that basically felt like any episode of WWE Raw from like 1998, and it was embarrassing. Embarrassing. Anyway, Macho Man Randy Savage is a part of that, and it just happened to me. So when we talk about what we're watching, that's what I was watching. You tell me if I'm wrong. Anyway, here's the quote in my best, medium best, Macho Man Randy Savage. I, Dusty, got you for 3 minutes per round. 3 minutes per round of playtime. It's the best I got. Look, I don't do a good Macho Man Randy Savage. Snurts, thank you for saying it was nice. I know my limitations. The point I'm trying to say is, here's the rest of the review. Comment, the energy, the knowledge of both combatants, the full use of time. Dusty did an excellent job and had Ray sweating Pepsi Max throughout the match. Despite my love of Mortal Kombat and Sub-Zero, I was convinced that Yujiro won. As always, what Ken said. Look, they have their own inside joke going. Him and Ken Bjorn Turner. And so there it is. I'm ready to move on to the next one.
All right. Snurt said he may send you a clip of his take.
I would love to hear it.
All right. Judd Fulton says, I'll go against the grain and give this one to Ray, albeit in the very last point. I think Dusty got the exact argument he wanted. Make this a battle of fighting skill and power instead of cryomancy. And I thought Ray didn't focus nearly enough on the cryomancy.
Jude, what are we doing here?
Despite the focus of the arguments during the course of the battle, my vision of how this played out still made the ice clone the victory. Ray throwing that in as one of his victory conditions in his final word put him ever so slightly over, in my opinion.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And we got one more here from Ken Bjorn Turner. We all knew right. It was coming. He says, great episode. Dusty brought his A game to this. He has some Viking potential. He absolutely does. He's more of a Scotland Highlander kind of a guy. You know, if you've seen his TikTok, and I highly suggest go check it out. He knows what he's doing. It sounds like Yujiro has a lot more to his arsenal and would have the advantage. But as always, what Snurt said. Again, Snurts and Bjorn have their own thing happening. And that's great. So those are all of your comments.
Yeah. Make sure to comment more in the future and you'll see your comment here. But right now we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I hope you buy all those goods and or services.
I also want those things that were said.
As do I. Boy, they sure sound tasty and or affordable.
I believe they are probably a life changer. Game changer? Game changer. That's the thing we say.
You know, one thing I found, and I listened to a bunch of the episodes, you know, I mean, I listen to them while I do a lot of editing as well, so pardon me, but I do listen to the live show a lot, and one thing I noticed is there were a lot of Brian Cox from Succession, you know, X2, X-Men, you know, he's a very famous actor, he's very good, original Hannibal Lecter, and his McDonald's ads show up a lot in the Who Would Win show, and maybe that's just targeted at me, maybe right. They know I'm banned from Burger King, I don't know. But I don't know. It feels like there's a certain gravitas to when to when Brian Cox is on our podcast going, and I'm like, you know what? We've made it. We made nice. It, everybody.
Wow. Yeah. Well, can't wait till we see that Brian Cox McDonald's but-a-bum-bum money. All right.
I mean, here's the deal. Someday. We'll be raking in literal tens of dollars. It'll be fantastic.
Amazing. Look, I just want that Funko Pop of my head, because how are they going to do that? I just want to give them a little challenge.
We got to do that. And for the record, Snert says that those were great ads and his wallet is open for all the things. So I agree. And thank you, Snert, for joining us and being our guinea pig for this. And if you want to, here's the deal. If you want to join us for the wrap up, I promise we'll give you more notice than like 3 hours. Which is yes. Basically what we did. Sorry. It was sort of a last minute decision by me, who consulted no one and just said, I'm doing it. Here we go. You can join our Patreon, patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. You know, we appreciate it. We appreciate the support, and it does help us do things. It does open up some stuff for us. And we try to put clips on there and videos, and oh, I got a new one of me. Oh, you'll see it. It's me with the piece of iconic costuming that I have access to because of certain reasons.
No.
Don't worry about that. The whole deal is check out that one when it comes out. Okay. You probably have already seen it because it actually is going to come out before this episode drops. Snerts, you'll see it. Good deal. Anyway, we're talking right now about, you know, we can take a moment here to talk about what we've been watching, what we've been playing, what we've been into. And Sam, we did this 2 weeks ago on the wrap up, but you were having internet connectivity, computer problems, and you didn't really get to tell us a lot about what you're doing. So why don't you start us off and tell us about one thing that you've been watching? We'll go back and forth till we're out.
Well, you know, we've been doing a lot of stuff with the kids because they're home for break. So we've been watching a lot of stuff. I said previously we watched the Lord of the Rings. We just introduced them to their first Marvel movie.
Now, how about that?
Yeah. I hope the purists aren't angry that we're not going in order. But we went with Guardians of the Galaxy as their first entry into that world. Yeah, you know, there's a cute raccoon, there's a tree guy and all of that. It seemed like the safe bet.
That's a and fun movie. That's a good choice.
It is a good movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, we just watched Age of Ultron earlier this afternoon. Like, I watched a little bit of it, but my wife and my seven-year-old were watching it together. And, you know, Age of Ultron, everybody, it's great. I know it doesn't, like, now that we've seen, like, 29 or whatever Marvel movies, people don't hold it in as high esteem. But I remember when I walked out of the theater from Age of Ultron, I was like, it's great. It's Marvel. It's an Avengers movie. It's great. Like, what? There's a high level and it achieved it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my feeling at least, you know?
Yeah.
But that's great. So here's the deal. I watched a movie on the airplanes. Like, I'm gonna tell you right now, I went to Disney World in the last week. We didn't do a lot of posting on social media. I tried to get some stuff scheduled, but I'm really bad at it and don't know how to do it. So we sort of went dark a little bit on the Instagrams and whatnot. And that's because Ray was in Orlando, Florida. And I'm gonna tell you right now, if you plan to fly Delta Airlines right now, don't do it. I'm here to destroy the reputation of Delta Airlines. My wife, she booked a flight from Los Angeles to Orlando, straight shot 7 in the morning. And we got to the airport, got to the terminal, got to the gate where it was supposed to take off. And in that moment, that flight was canceled.
No.
And we were there at 5:30 a.m. For a 7 a.m. flight, and then had to quickly rebook whatever we could find, get there. I went to the counter and asked Delta, and I said, hey, Delta, what's up? And they were just like, okay, you still have a return flight back. So don't do anything. Don't cancel it. Don't ask for a refund. Just say nothing. Do nothing. So you don't lose your flight back, which is also a direct shot. I said, great. And then they canceled that flight anyway the day before.
No.
We found out while at Epcot Center at dinner on the final night of our trip that our flight home was also canceled and I had to immediately rebook on the fly something else. And then Delta Airlines, when my wife said, hey, maybe give us our money back, they were like, well, we need you to print out paper tickets for your digital tickets, mail them to us, and then we will... And my wife, and I'm going to give her all the props and credit in the world, she's just in the chat with this buffoon, says, so here's the deal. The next you're going to give me that money, or the next thing you're going to hear is my attorney talking to you after I spread this story all over social media. And spoiler alert, I'm doing it anyway. I don't care. And they immediately were like, oh, we found out we actually already gave you that refund. Oh, a little miscommunication on our part. Obviously, that refund was already started. Ha ha. Whoa, mistake on our part. You know, don't fly Delta. If you take one thing away from this wrap up, do not fly Delta. Come at me, bro.
My wife and kids are leaving Monday to go to Michigan on Delta, so I'll report back.
Don't fly it, Sam. Rebook them.
It's already booked.
No, rebook them. Cancel.
Oh my God.
The point I'm trying to say is be ready because they suck. I was very excited about a straight direct flight, and then they just ripped it out from under us with no email, no warning, no text, nothing. We just had to discover that it was gone. Bad job, Delta Airlines. Do not care for you. Never again.
That's the worst.
Anyway, the upshot of all of this is while I was flying Southwest, the Hunger Games of airlines, I watched a movie that has been on my list for a very long time that I had not watched. You're gonna shame me for this. The animated DC movie, Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
I have not seen that. So
that is a well-known great movie. And I had never, it was a gap, and I bought it on my Movies Anywhere app. Sam, no one's happy with you right now. At least they can't yell at me now, but they can yell at you.
I mean, he just saw it. You can yell at him. Come on.
Look, here's the deal. Snurts is infuriated with you. But also at the end of the day,
where
he's infuriated with me too. So don't worry about it.
Tell me where it's streaming.
Yeah,
I have 2 weeks alone.
Movie. It's a great movie. I saw the plot twist coming about halfway through the movie. I mean, these things happen. It's on HBO Max, apparently. That's great. I bought it for $5, and I'm happy I did. On the Movies Anywhere app, if you don't use that while you travel, what are you doing? I also watched a little bit of Fast Five, a wonderful Fast and the Furious movie. I watched the first half of that because if you're not down with Fast and the Furious, I can't talk to you. Sam, can I still talk to you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not all caught up on them, but... you know, it's not something I can convince my wife to watch. That's all I can say. Anyway.
Fast Five is a great movie. That's all I'll say. I don't want to get mad at you right now. Anyway, those are the movies that I've been watching. What else have you been enjoying as a media?
All right. So, yeah, I said the other time that we had started, we had watched the entirety of The Lord of the Rings.
Right.
So now we've started in on The Hobbit. We watched the first part of that ridiculously long series. I don't know why that was turned into so many, but after seeing the first one, I was like, okay, we've barely left the Shire at this point. So I get it. We've named all of the blades of grass. And yeah, I get what's happening. We've introduced all of the characters potentially that never saw the 90 minute animated version. Cool. I'm in for it. We'll see what the rest of the, I probably won't get to watch the other two until they get back from Michigan, but we'll see. So far, so good. I mean, I love Tolkien. I love all of the fantasy stuff. So it's a good time. The kids are very into it. My younger daughter has a weird obsession with pretending to be Gollum, which probably is not problematic, right? But yeah,
it depends on what she considers her precious.
Yeah. So yeah, we started in on that. And then my wife and I have been watching the new season of Yellow Jackets, which just came out, which if you aren't familiar, it's on Netflix. It is a great cast. It's got like Christina Ricci, Juliette Lewis.
Okay.
Ella Purnell, who was in Fallout.
Oh, from Fallout.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other people in it. And this season, Elijah Wood joined the cast. And it's basically this girls' soccer team crashes in the Canadian wilderness, and then they just go out of their minds feral. They're there for like, I think they're supposed to be there for 19 months or something like that is the log line. And it does
Canada,
this.
Where are your rescue parties? What is happening up in Canada?
Yeah. I don't know. But it does this like timeline bounce where they're, you know, in the past, in the crash and experiencing all of that. And then they're in the future, you know, as adults. So they're like 16, 17, and now they're like in their 30s, 40s. And they're even more crazy as adults. And it's just really good. It's really well written.
I've heard it's good.
And yeah, it's fantastic.
See, at first when you started talking, I thought you were going to say we're watching Yellowstone.
No,
the famed Western drama series.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
Is Kevin Costner in it? I don't know.
I don't know. I did see whatever that's how memorable this was. I saw whatever Kevin Costner Western thing he just produced a little while ago that I believe was supposed to be the first part of a multi-part movie franchise. I can't even tell you what it was called. I basically don't remember it whatsoever because there was another Western show that happened at the same time that was way better. But that was a while ago. The last thing I want to say that I've been watching.
Yes.
Which is equally as compelling as Yellow Jackets and how insane they have gone is. And I don't know if you're a TikTok person, but it is.
I am not.
It is a real life event that I'm just going to call the Antipasto series, in which this woman showed up to a July 4th party with an antipasto in this new neighborhood at her new neighbor's house. And it went bad fast. And there are just...
Why did it go so bad fast?
Like the husband of the that lives in the house sees this woman, this is the 30-second wrap-up of it, sees this woman in his kitchen with this giant salad, antipasto salad, doesn't say anything, goes outside, and then a minute later, his mommy, this is a 50-year-old man, maybe he's 40.
Boy.
His mommy comes in and starts interrogating this woman. Who are you? What are you doing here? Why are you in our house? My husband doesn't know who you are. And it just goes crazy. The internet has rallied behind the antipasto lady so vigorously that they have tracked down these people. And I don't ever condone doxing or bullying, but the rebuke that these people have gotten from the internet as a whole is amazing. And that's what I'm watching. Wow.
That's fantastic. Here's the deal. I do condone bullying because it works. Thank you.
Fair enough.
Doxing a little inappropriate, but bullying? Yeah, let's get behind that.
I just want to say that at some point these people, these bully people who the internet had turned against, for some reason decided that they were so wronged, they would start a GoFundMe for whatever friggin'
I mean, we see
logic.
Some bad GoFundMe lately.
Oh, look, my God.
For the record, bullying works, but let me be clear. It only works if the person you are bullying has authority. Let me just say that out loud. Don't bully weak people. Bully the strong ones. That's where the fun is.
I mean, these are the people that seem to think they are the hot S in their
hot
town.
Hot stuff.
The hot stuff. Yes. They think they are.
Sam, don't make me pull out the beeper.
They're the big bad neighbors, apparently. So, beep.
That's fair. All right.
Anyway.
Last thing I want to talk about, you know, I've been playing The Altars. I talked about it 2 weeks ago. I'm in Act 3. I'm getting towards the end. This game is wonderful. It will be a TV show someday. Be ready for a TV show based on a video game called The Altars, starring a generally famous good actor who's playing like 19 versions, not 19, probably 10 versions of himself in different roles. This is the thing that I almost guarantee is going to happen. Much like Last of Us was guaranteed to have a TV show, right? The Altars is guaranteed to have a TV show that's probably going to be very, very good. So just be ready. If you aren't playing it, it is free on Xbox Game Pass, Ultimate Game Pass. And I highly suggest checking it out. If you are a fan of, you know, base creation games, along with social games, along with exploration games. Look, there's something in there for everybody. This is a wonderful game where I talked about it last week. I'm not talking about it too much here, but I'm still playing it. I still love it. And my question for the people at home is, what do I play next? The choices are basically Final Fantasy VII Remake Rebirth, right? Great. Or Clair Obscura Expedition 33, potentially 2025's Game of the Year. These are two heavy, long role-playing games that will take me a long time. People at home, I want you to let us know which one I should take. Hit us up on anywhere, the threads, the Facebook group, the Patreon. Let me know which one you think I should play. That's sort of where I'm at right now.
Right.
I'm ready to take on a big game. As I also play Chrono Trigger, I point over here as if it means anything in an audio medium. On the PS1, I've been playing Chrono Trigger, and I do want to get through that as well. It's a phenomenal retro game. Everyone should try it.
That actually reminds me, if I can plug myself for a second.
Please do.
I am going to make a return to gaming on Twitch as my wife and kids take off for 2 weeks on the 14th through the 28th. So look around for that. And I will be playing. I can't say what it is yet because I'm signing an NDA. It's actually a sponsored thing, but I'll be playing a sort of Telltale game, if you will. So,
I love Telltale games.
Yeah.
All right. Please go out of your way to send me that info. We'll get it everywhere and I will watch myself.
All right. Awesome. Oh, yeah, so
that's
it's twitch.tv/samproof, so look for me on there.
There you go. Well, why not go to twitch.tv/almightyray and watch some of my old Fallout videos? Oh, wait,
that's it.
My old Fallout videos are all on your old channel.
Is that right?
You hired me on to play Fallout 4 and Fallout New Vegas on you. What channel was that?
Was that the Pizza Game Zombies? Yeah, it would be on...
Is that still a thing that people can watch?
Yeah, the youtube.pgzcast. would have those archives.
If you want to watch me play a lot of Fallout 4, Fallout New Vegas, I did a lot of playing. I think I played some Telltale. I played the Michonne Walking Dead Telltale for your channel, too.
Nice.
Wow, what a blast from the past. That was a long time ago, Sam Proof.
I totally forgot. Yeah, wow, it was. I mean, FYI, I just got the email. My YouTube channel turned 19 today.
I saw that. Oh, my goodness. That is wild. Well, congratulations, first and foremost. But what was it? PGZ Cast on YouTube?
Yeah. Yes.
And you probably got to do a little searching. But I am on there playing probably a variety of games. If that interests you even a little bit, go get it.
If the people want, I can do the searching and make a playlist out of it.
That might be fun. You know what? If it's not too much trouble,
your
family's leaving town for 2 weeks. You'll be fine.
I got a lot of time coming up. I can do it.
Hey, what is up, everybody? This is a late addition to the show that I, Ray, your hero, am putting in a little bit later on. It's like 4 hours before this show comes out, but I just got home from the Superman movie, and I had to at least mention it. Because it's fresh and it's in my mind and I just came from it. I'm just going to say right now, wow, I absolutely loved this movie. I'm not going to spoil anything from it. I'm just going to say that this is one of the better superhero movies that I've seen, maybe ever. Like, James Gunn, I just connect with his work, I think, and have since Slither in 2006, which you haven't seen that movie. That's a great monster movie. You should go check out that one, Slither. It's pretty good. But anyway, the Superman movie is absolutely wonderful. There's a lot of different characters in it. It's maybe the best portrayal of Lex Luthor that I've seen on screen, and I know what I'm saying when I'm saying that. I know. He's that good. The actor, David Cornsweet, who plays Superman, just absolutely nails it. You know, he has a really good time with it. And I never don't believe he's Superman every moment, even when he's Clark Kent. I still believe that he's Superman. And one of the really smart things this movie does is it picks up in Act 2. That's what my wife said, and I wholeheartedly agree with her, that this is a movie that doesn't waste its time with exposition and explaining how we got here. It doesn't insult your intelligence. It believes in its audience, knows who Superman is, and we don't need to see the Jor-El speech. I mean, I guess we do see it. But, like, we don't need to see Russell Crowe saying it 18 times in a row in the movie. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to see Batman's mom's pearls drop in the alley again. We know it. We get it. And James Gunn appreciated this. You know, shout outs, Green Lantern, Nathan Fillion, Guy Gardner is wonderful. Mr. Terrific is just great. I've done that character on the show before, Who Would Win, but I didn't fully appreciate how much I love this character until seeing this movie. And, like, everybody's good. Like, there's really no bad part of the entire movie. This is a strong recommendation from me. And since we talk about stuff we've seen lately in this section of the show, it seemed worthwhile to go in and just record a few thoughts, let y'all know this is a certified stamp of approval from me, at least. Absolutely loved it. No notes, minor gripes only. And that's why it's only like a 9.2 out of 10 instead of a full 10. But that's still a very, very good score. And this is definitely a movie worth your time. I am excited to go live in this new DC universe of movies, and I am excited to explore and play around in it with all the different characters. I have full trust in James Gunn as an auteur to make this thing happen, and I hope y'all give it a shot. Definitely worth your time. Last thing, if you listen past the closing credits, there's a special Bone Saw impression from listener Snurts. He sent it in after the fact as well. Let's get back to what we already recorded.
All right.
All right. So it's last thing we got to do here is we got to talk about next week's episode.
Yes.
So this is very exciting. I have never debated against an attorney, an actual legal professional whose job is to argue. I have never done that before on Who Would Win until next week, when I am debating Jude Fulton's dad, Blake Fulton, who is a legitimate attorney.
Yeah.
And we are going to be debating. Blake is going to be taking the Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes, and I'll be taking Batman's enemy, Deadshot, in a very interesting contrast of styles, which you know I love to see. Winter Soldier versus Deadshot, Marvel versus DC, like y'all been asking, versus attorney Blake Fulton, the only man who potentially talks as fast as I do.
That's true. Yeah, it's a good one.
I am excited to present this battle to you all, and I am very curious how you feel about who won and why. We'll get into that a week from now. In the meantime, Sam, I think I'm done talking for the moment, if you can believe it.
That's
get us out of here.
Amazing. But thank you for joining us. And as always, continue joining us on our socials at Who Would Win Show, and find us over on Patreon at patreon.com/WhoWouldWinShow. And yeah, tune in for the next show with Winter Soldier. Wow, can't say that. What? Yes.
And Sam, if people wanted to join the show as a debater, what would they do?
It was just getting to that part.
It sounded like you were about to wrap up and got nervous.
I mean, the whole thing's the wrap up.
All right, you know what? I'm wrong. You're right. I'm sorry.
It's all good. I don't know what segue I was doing anyway, so thanks for... I was already tripping over my tongue.
Maybe I saved you from yourself.
If you think you've got what it takes to be a part of Who Would Win Masters, record a one-minute video demo of yourself, send it to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com, and who knows, maybe you'll be in the challenger chair. So for Who Would Win Masters, this is Sam Proof. Stay strong. We'll
saw is ready. I,
Dusty,
got you for 3 minutes
per round.
3 minutes per round of playtime.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Remember crying when Optimus Prime died?
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode?
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniac was so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
No, different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Are you a geek who likes sports?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, we hope it is good. Welcome to another edition of Geeks Who Like Sports.
The Yankees really kind of mailed it in. She's the Goblin Queen. It's legit. Football 101. Take what the defense gives you.
The NBA All-Star Game is fake. The Emperor would absolutely throw Vader under the bus.
Listen or watch Geeks Who Like Sports on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.